Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
After hearing nearly 2 hours of public comment, the Athens-Clark County Mayor and Commission voted unanimously to create a civilian oversight authority to oversee the police department, sheriff's office, and jail during Tuesday night's meeting. The Public Safety Oversight Committee will review complaints concerning law enforcement and corrections officers and can advise the mayor and commission, the county sheriff, the county warden, and the chief of police on general reforms with an eye to improving the relationship between the departments and the wider community. That committee is the local government's response to mounting pressure for more oversight over the police department, especially following the 6 fatal shootings by ACCPD in 2019 and the tear gassing of protesters during the George Floyd protest of 2020. It also comes after a year of research completed by the Police Advisory Task Force, co-chaired by Mocha Jasmine Johnson of the Athens Anti-Discrimination Movement. Here to talk about that, plus the rest of the weekend news, are Chris Dowd from Athens Politics Nerd and our own senior producer, Martin Matheny. Okay, guys, there was a lot of information in that intro, a lot of much-needed background information, but let's talk about the fact that this passed unanimously. Did that come as a surprise to either of you, especially considering Commissioner Russell Edwards speculating on this show just 2 weeks ago about opposition to the measure and it possibly not passing?
I mean, I wasn't sure which way that would go. But I'm not super surprised that it was unanimous because, Chief Spruill actually wrote a letter to the commission or an email to the commission saying that he supported it. And it said that he had maybe some concerns, but he thought that those could be worked out through the process. So, knowing that, then it becomes a lot less surprising. I was never actually sure that Commissioner Edwards didn't support it. I just think that he wanted to hear from people who want him to vote yes, basically. It's almost like he was looking for political cover to vote the way maybe he wanted to vote anyway.
Now, the AADM was at that meeting to show support for the creation of the board, but Mocha Jasmine Johnson, president of the agency, has also expressed concerns with the changes that were made from the task force original recommendations. Could either of you explain what's in the ordinance now versus what was recommended by the task force?
The one thing that they added was that they expanded the board's focus to include not just the police department, but also the sheriff's office, the Department of Corrections, and I think also probation. But then they removed a lot of the more controversial elements, like they removed, all language sort of trying to determine who would be on the committee or who would be eligible to be appointed. They're just letting anyone be on it who is appointed by the mayor and commission. Even police officers or at least representatives of police could be on it. And they're going to have some non-voting members of the board. And those will include the chief of police, the sheriff, the warden. And so that was definitely added in committee. That was not in the original recommendations. And they're removing police budgeting as an area of focus. Like the original recommendations had, the ability to make at least recommendations pertaining to ACCPD's budget. And that was removed in the final version. So really, the controversial things were all kind of taken out, and it's just, it remains sort of in an advisory body.
Much less controversially, the commission also approved the creation of a human relations commission. Could you give us some background on what this commission will do?
So this commission will be set up to encourage dialogue about equity and inclusion in Athens, and it will assist residents with discrimination complaints. And they'll hold like town hall meetings. And this is sort of similar to the police advisory board. So some people might say that, oh, we don't have any problems with, you know, inclusion and equity in Athens. And this board, you know, really, it isn't for those people. You know, it's for the people who feel that there is a problem. And the goal of it is to try to address those problems in a way that is better for everybody.
Well, also on Tuesday, Athens residents voted to renew an EastBLOST, the 1% education special local option sales tax. What projects will that fund? And Martin, can I start with you on this one?
You're getting a new Clark Middle School and significant repairs and renovations to a lot of other schools. The way this basically works, EastBLOST is a little bit different than things like, say, the TSPLOST that we're going to be talking about a lot in a few months, in that the projects that are developed are done internally based on needs. So it's not a situation where, you know, I as just a random Clark County resident can be like, hey, Clark Central High School needs a new band room. I mean, I could certainly express that to my school board member, but the projects are developed internally and they're done on kind of a rolling basis so that every school gets sort of a fair chance to get renovations, upgrades, and in some cases, new construction. They always buy a couple of new school buses every year. And then big technology upgrades, which I think has been put in a lot clearer focus right now because of, you know, just coming off a year of going back and forth between remote and in-person learning, and who knows what's going to happen in the next few years with the pandemic. So updating their technology infrastructure is a part of this as well.
Moving on to state news, Republican state lawmakers released their redistricting maps earlier this week. So what changes are in store for Athens if these maps are passed?
One thing that a lot of Athens residents have had a problem with our current state house maps is that Athens is included in three different state house districts, 117, 118, and 119. So the Republican majority in Atlanta has addressed that with a proposed map that carves Athens up into four state house districts now. So that's one big change. In terms of the Senate map, state Senate maps, they don't look a lot different to me for this area, but I haven't delved really deeply into those. One thing that could possibly change, one of the proposed maps they put out for congressional districts would actually put all of Athens back into a single congressional district rather than having the county split between two the way it is right now. That does not mean that if that happens, that Athens congressional district would be particularly friendly to Democrats, however.
Yeah, I know that Blake Ott has often made the point that we're not actually gerrymandered on the congressional district level, even though most people think that we are, just because no matter how you slice it, the areas around us are so red that it's not going to be a blue district. But it is concerning that, you know, four districts for the state house, that's really, they're really stretching the limits. So, I mean, I hope it doesn't get any worse than that, but that's really bad, I think.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with that map. Going back to what you said about congressional districts, you're absolutely right. There's not really a fair way to draw a Democratic district that includes Athens. By way of comparison, the last time that Democrats controlled redistricting, which would have been in 2000-2001, Athens was in a Democratic congressional district. But in order to get that district, they had to draw a district that started in Athens, had a very narrow strip of territory, then picked up Augusta, then a very, very narrow strip to connect it to Savannah. Now, that was 20 years ago, and demographics have changed, but you're absolutely right, Chris. There's not a way to not gerrymander a Democratic district around Athens. It's just the blue dot in the Red Sea phenomenon, right?
Well, finally, there's some speculation that former Senator David Perdue is considering a primary challenge against Governor Brian Kemp next year. Do you two see him as a competitive opponent?
Absolutely. I feel like the governor right now is in this sort of weird political no man's land where the extreme right of his party, the Trump base doesn't particularly care for him because of the election shenanigans. And that extreme right, that's going to be, I think, your Republican primary turnout. Like, I don't see a lot of more moderate Republicans, or for that matter, more moderate Democrats on the other side coming out in primaries. Historically, we know that that's not really the case. So it's like, if David Perdue gets in the race with presumably an endorsement from Donald Trump, what do you do if you're Brian Kemp? Do you try to run even further to the right? Does that even get you more votes? And if so, what position does that put you in a general election? The calculus on this is really baffling to me.
Yeah, I just want to second everything you just said. It's a tough situation for someone like Kemp, who, I mean, you would think that he's got already gone as far right as he can go, but I remember, you know, the last election, some of those commercials that he put out definitely trying to jazz up his base. And that's what primaries are about. It's a turnout game for your base. So
yeah, and the thing is, just in terms of from an actual policymaking standpoint, Governor Kemp has governed very far to the right. He's given the extreme right of the Republican Party a lot of the things that they want. You know, he's held fast on Medicaid expansion, for example. He has held, very firm on not doing anything about mask mandates or vaccination mandates. So he's doing a lot of stuff that the extreme right of the base want him to do. They're just not acknowledging it because he didn't overturn the results of an election a year ago. And that could very well end up being very problematic for him in a potential Republican primary against David Perdue if Perdue chooses to run.
Yeah, and if you actually believe the election was stolen, I can understand that. I can understand wanting someone who will make sure that the will of the people is fulfilled. So, but the problem is, it's just not true. You know, the election wasn't stolen. Biden won fair and square. But if you actually believe that it was stolen, yeah, that's a big issue.
Well, that'll be the last word for this week. That's all the time we have. And I do want to thank my panelists, Chris Dowd from Athens Politics Nerd, and our own senior producer, Martin Matheny.